What's up, Beardos? You're listening to a very special Patreon supporter episode of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to don't be a jerk.
Don't
answer your question first try.
Not answering your question.
I really hope people didn't tune into yours talking about beards. Beards.
What does that mean, Paul?
The big beans and the big brown red bowl. Red bowl.
Who knows, Andy? I don't know.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, thank you for supporting us on Patreon without ever listening to us. And you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com. And you can always reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com.
In today's Patreon exclusive episode, we will be reviewing the first episode of the new Netflix series Rotten, titled Lawyers, Guns, and Honey.
All the makings of a thrilling film. At one point, they talk about this being a honey heist, and I am so in for any heist film of any kind, Paul, so I was excited for this one.
You know, Andy, this episode is titled Lawyers, Guns, and Honey. One of those three things, I believe, missing from this entire episode.
There's like one brief mention of guns when like the FBI raid these. And that's like, yeah. I feel like they specifically threw that in just to justify this title.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
So anyway, so welcome, Patreon supporters. This is a new endeavor that we are embarking upon. We wanted to make some little extra bonus content to thank everyone that is supporting us, whether it's just $1 a month or $500 a month or whatever it is. We wanted to have a little bit of some content here, some extra episodes. And a lot of people had been talking about this new Netflix series, Rotten. And also, it was promoted by a lot of vegan outlets. I posted the trailer to our Facebook page just to see what people thought of it. Personally, I was getting a lot of very, like, welfare, humane meat vibes from the trailer. But I was still really curious to check it out. And we figure we've been doing so many film review episodes, and we didn't want to stack this right on top of it. We sort of wanted to get back into our regularly scheduled program. We're recording this right at the tail end of our little winter break. So it's a nice place to put it right here for all you Patreon donors. So thank you once again for that. And this is going to be sort of in the style of those winter break episodes. There's not going to be any news here because we don't know at what point you're going to be listening to this episode. So I guess with that said, Paul, let's just dive right into our review of Rotten, episode one, Lawyers, Guns, and Honey.
The food industry is under full-scale assault. The crisis is global. More of us are wanting to know the source of the food we buy.
If you don't know what's in your food, get out of the business.
In the last 50 years, food has turned into a commodity to be traded like a stock or a bond.
With money to be had, there will always be fraud in the marketplace.
This has consequences beyond description.
What people don't realize is farmers are fading. You used to be able to be this big, happy family that stayed home together, that worked together all the time. That's not the case anymore.
Aiding and abetting a massive act of theft, people should be concerned about this.
Get all the fish you want, you have no idea where it's coming from. Any of it frozen once, two, three, four times, all kinds of additives.
So the episode description from Netflix is, with demand for honey soaring just as bees are dying off in record numbers, hidden additives, hive thefts, and other shady tactics are on the rise. Sexy description.
Yes, indeed. And, you know, I would say, as far as our overall thoughts here go, it's a very slickly produced episode. And it might as well just be a film. It's almost an hour long. So it's essentially a shorter documentary or medium-length documentary. I thought it was really well put together. I thought it was a really entertaining watch. We're going to dive into what does this mean for vegans? What do we have to say about it? But what are your kind of overall thoughts on the film, Paul?
They had that Netflix money. I believe this is a Netflix original, correct?
Yes, it is.
They had that Netflix money. The production value was great. They had cool shots. I remember there was one shot of, I don't know if it was somehow underneath a table that was someone spreading out honey, and it was just honey being spread, but it was almost like you were the honey being spread. I don't know how to describe it, but there was a lot of cool, interesting shots of honey. And also you could tell there was drawings and animations and graphics, and it was all very high quality. That being said, it was kind of boring to me, Andy.
Oh, really? Bored. You thought it was boring?
I just couldn't, I don't know, as much as they were trying to make this story, this, you know, theft and lawsuits and one instance of like an FBI agent carrying a gun, it just wasn't as enthralling to me. And I think part of it had to do with the fact that I thought it was maybe going to be something different. I don't think this is a spoiler alert, but I guess I thought it would maybe have to do more with the bees themselves, the bees themselves, versus what it was really about was beekeeping and the bee and the honey industry. It wasn't really about bees.
Bees?
Bees! Should have been called lawyers, jazz, and honey.
You like jazz? Yeah, the film, I keep saying it's a film, but I guess I'll just call it an episode. The episode starts out and they're talking about colony collapse disorder. They're talking about how much work it takes for a bee to produce honey. And they're talking a little bit about what the beekeepers have to do to help the hives. Or I say help, I guess, in air quotes there. And then it very quickly transitions over into this whole scandal about how China is producing very cheap honey because they're cutting it with like rice syrups and things that can't be detected. And this whole obscuring of the source of honey and doing that to undercut the U.S. market and how the U.S. government responds. And I guess, I don't know, I found that interesting. I found that, I don't know if it really impacts my daily life necessarily, but I found it interesting just to see how that works. But I guess you're right. I think that they were trying to wring a lot of drama out of something that's not really that dramatic.
And I guess, I don't know. So at this point while we're recording this, we have not watched the other episodes of this 6-part series. And it seems like to me that maybe this is what the rest of the episodes are about. It's kind of about exposing the seedy underbelly of the food industry. But this is not something like I had when I was watching this, I was like, yeah, this makes sense. There's people trying to exploit, you know, loopholes and all these other things. I'm like, why wouldn't people be doing this? And it sucks. It's like it's shady and it's bad that they're doing this, all and like animal reasons aside, it's shady practice and stuff like that. But I feel like if people are buying and selling things, as long as people are buying and selling things, other people are going to try and exploit that and find ways to make the most profit on themselves. So like you said, Andy, since this in particular, honey, me consuming honey is not something that I'm super invested in or invested in at all. I was like, I don't really care about this. It almost didn't seem to me that there was any point of this. The point of it was just to say, this is a thing. I felt like they didn't really say, this is what should be done about it. This is what can be done about it. This is what you can do about it. This is what the government can do about it. It was more of just like, this is a thing. And for me, as someone that's not really affected by that specific thing, I was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, so we sort of dove into this not really knowing too much about it, as we do with most of our film reviews and media reviews, because it was promoted so heavily by vegan outlets as this is going to take down factory farming and all of these sort of angles that the vegan media, again, I feel like as a group, vegans love to jump on things and claim things as our own and sort of twist them to have a vegan message. And I would like to talk about if this could potentially have an impact or maybe open someone up to a vegan message. But yeah, I think that as I was watching it, I kind of started to think, is this something that it should be covered by vegan media outlets at all? We're here and we're doing it, Paul, but it almost it felt like, you know, the standard outlets, it just doesn't feel like something that they should be promoting. Because essentially, let me know what you think about this, Paul, is it's a film that's advocating for local honey consumption. It's essentially saying local agriculture, because at the end of the episode, they're interviewing the honey farmer who said, "I decided to stop doing the pollination and our bees are better off for it. And we're catering." It felt like a commercial for this guy. Like, we're catering to people who want real, like, local pure honey. And
yeah,
to me, there was moments in the film that I thought could lend itself to an animal rights message, or at least to people realizing that consumption of honey is unethical, but it was really undercut by the fact that essentially the overall premise of the film is that honey is totally fine for humans to consume.
I guess as of, like, 'cause we've talked about bees and honey before, and I think this was a relatively recent episode that we talked about, do you need to eat honey to save the bees type of deal? That's what we were talking about. And what that final beekeeper, what his position is that I don't need to, you know, I don't need to join the system of renting my beehives out to help pollinate the crops. I can just live on honey alone. And I feel like I have not listened to that episode in a while that we've recorded, but I almost feel like as a vegan, kind of one big issue that maybe we don't have a solution for right now is if we want to keep producing crops the way that we're producing them, even if we're eating a vegan diet with no honey, the production of those crops at how current agriculture works requires beehives to be rented out for pollination. So if anything, like, that guy saying, "Oh, I'm not going to use my bees for pollination, I'm just going to use them for honey," is actually, I feel like, an anti-vegan message.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if there was any overall theme, it was almost more anti-capitalist. But just because, like you said, Paul, as long as people are buying and selling things, people are going to try to exploit that and find loopholes to get through it. But I guess I think more than that, it's just capitalism's fine as long as it's local and as long as, like, people act ethically.
But I don't even know if is that what they were trying to get across? Because I don't know. I guess every documentary doesn't need to have a conclusion that says, here's an issue, this is what you need to do about it. But I don't know. That just leaves me so unsatisfied when they say, here's an issue, ... the end. It's almost like I'm presenting you with the issues that are going on, but I'm not really giving you anything to do about them. And even though the things that they probably would present, I would be against, I don't know, it just felt unsatisfactory to me.
Yeah, well, I think that there's types of documentaries that say, here's the problem and we don't have a solution, but perhaps the problem is this really big, immense thing that requires these really heady, world-changing solutions. And in that case, it is good, I think, to have those kind of documentaries. They're just saying, like, no one's talking about this thing, let's talk about this thing, and maybe that will spur other people to start thinking about solutions. Whereas it feels like it almost feels like they could easily put in what they think is a solution or a couple of solutions. And then, of course, there's sort of the vegan perspective, which is, well, we just don't need to eat honey, so why does any of this matter whatsoever? We're just watching people struggling over this thing that doesn't matter.
Like, obviously this is more selfish, and this documentary was not made for me specifically, or for, I would say, it was not made for vegans, but specifically, but I feel like the more interesting documentary would have been that discussion that I was just kind of bringing up, in that it says bees are dying. How can we save the bees? Does saving the bees necessitate eating honey? Can we just stop exploiting bees altogether, 100%? Will that help the bees? But will that make agriculture suffer? And can our agricultural businesses survive without bees? Like, I feel like exploring those things for me would have been much more interesting. Obviously, they weren't making this movie for me, but I would have found that more interesting.
Yeah, no, I definitely find that more interesting. And I thought that's kind of where they were headed when they were talking about colony collapse and the disappearance of the bees and all of those issues. Something that we didn't cover in our honey episode, Paul, that a few people pointed out to us afterwards, is that there's a lot of great sources out there saying that, like, yes, the bees are in danger, but the honeybees are not the bees to be worrying about. It's all these wild bees that humans don't profit from that is the issue. And so I thought that maybe they were going to talk about that a little bit, but that whole aspect felt very underexplored. And they talk about the bees' health and, like, welfare, but only in terms of what can humans benefit from it. So it just, I don't know, it felt very short-sighted because of that.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is that it felt very lacking in the issues of the bees. Like you were saying, it's only bees are only something that we should worry about because their health and existence will affect us. And that was kind of, I was pretty bummed to see that that's how they framed the whole discussion. Like, any time that they talked about bees' health, it was quick and it was only related to how it could profit the beekeeper.
Yeah. So, yeah, it feels like I feel like they're presenting a very selfish narrative.
Yeah. Are we doing a spoilers, non-spoilers? I feel like we just dove right into it.
Yeah, I don't really feel like there's much to spoil necessarily. As far as any sort of animal rights messaging, pretty early on in this episode, there is a moment where they're sort of describing the process of harvesting the honey, taking it from the bees, and how they're taking it from them, and one of the honey farmers says, you know, we're taking that burden off of them because they would have to do all this work with the honey, whatever. And then he says, well, really what we're doing is robbing them.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wrote, like, that down.
Oh yeah. Like, here we go. And it's just sort of, this like throwaway line that they never really come back to. And I'm almost shocked that the editors left that in, because to me, that's sort of damning the whole, like, it's saying everything we're talking about doesn't matter because we're stealing something from these bees, but they never really come back to that. And they spend this time talking about it takes these, like, each worker bee takes 40 days to produce less than one teaspoon of honey. And it feels like that kind of fact should weigh heavily upon people. Like, fuck, they just spent 40 days making a small amount of this and we just take it and we sweeten our tea with it like some jerks, yeah. You know?
I felt exactly the same. I because that was very early on, and I wrote that line down too. Really, what we're doing is robbing them. And like you said, and I didn't think about this until you just said it, it's interesting that they left that in, because not only does it seem to imply that they're going to delve into that topic further, it wasn't edited as a throwaway line. It was like the last thing that was said before a scene change. You know, it was the moment in a movie where you're supposed to think, okay, that line is an important line. That means something. If I remember correctly, it was the person said that, and then it was, you know, like a scene cut or something like that, which seems to imply to me that they wanted to empathize. They wanted to emphasize that point.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, it just feels like a missed opportunity to explore the ethics of honey. But obviously, that's not what this episode was setting out to do. And they have that one line, and then there's all this stuff that sort of reinforces that it is okay to take the honey. At one point, they're interviewing someone about the theft of the bee colonies, the hives that were taken that were being used to pollinate. And this person says, this was not a victimless crime. And it's like, oh, were the bees the victims? They said, no, this impacted honey producers who were just trying to make an honest dollar. So it's sort of framing the honey business as like this honest business. These just hardworking Joes are making an honest dollar. And so that kind of, again, just sort of reiterates the fact that we don't really care about these bees. Like, it just matters. Like, is someone able to make money off of these creatures? And if so, then it makes it ethical.
Yeah. I'd be interested now to see the episodes about fish, the episodes about chicken and dairy, because if I had to make a guess, I would say, given the tone of how they talked about the bees versus the people who are exploiting the bees in this episode, I would say, like you had mentioned before, Andy, that it's I would guess it's going to be very welfare-y.
The welfare-y? Is that
the welfare-y.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely curious. I feel like you're probably going to be pretty correct on that, Paul. So perhaps we'll record some reviews of the next couple episodes and see how that all plays out. But yeah, overall, it just felt very disappointing to me. Like, I was all set for this really interesting honey documentary, and this wasn't it.
And to our fault, I'm sure that there are other good honey documentaries that we have not seen that do focus on the actual bees and how they're dying and those issues rather than, you know, the issues of the bee farmers. And one part that really kind of made me a little bit mad was, I think it was one of the first people, it's someone that they interview, you know, that they cut back to throughout the entire episode, but there's someone that is one of the first people that's interviewed and is I believe the very last person that's interviewed. And one of the first things he says is something about how romantic beekeeping is. And then the very last line is he's talking about beekeeping and he says, in part, it is a commercial activity. In part, it is a way of living. And I feel like he's just trying to make, I don't know, he's like romanticizing beekeeping so much as if it's this, you know, this like dance of the beekeeper and the bees. And I don't know, I just felt like it made me, I don't know, it just made me sick. Like oh God, this, like.
Strong words.
I don't know, I just felt like, you know, you're exploiting these bees and you're trying to make it out to be this sexy endeavor that you're doing.
Yeah, you're stealing bee vomit and you're trying to make it this really romantic enterprise.
Yeah. Like I doubt that. I mean, I don't I shouldn't say this because I'm sure there are people that would say the same thing about, you know, like local farmers and like some about the, you know, the connection between the farmer and the animal right before the farmer kills them. You know, people do say that kind of stuff. And that's what this reminded me of. And I feel like since it's bees and in general, people care less about bees than like pigs or cows, just because they're easier to connect with, I would say.
Yeah.
But so I feel like it's when he made that kind of, I don't know, not connection, but when he made that, you know, when he was trying to say that it was this romantic thing, I feel like people in general aren't as quick to question that as they would if you tried to say that same thing about a farmer slaughtering pigs.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so let me ask you, do you think there's any chance that someone could walk away from this documentary and say, I am not going to consume honey ever again because of what I saw here?
I'm going to say no, with maybe some, if someone has some, I don't know, if someone's like, I hate things imported from China, then they might not eat honey anymore. Cause most of one of the big points they were making was much of the honey is coming from China, even if it's labeled as coming from a different country. That was, I would say, what, maybe 45% of the episode was about.
Yeah. And do you think that's going to stoke xenophobia?
Well, this is what I was saying, half jokingly, half serious, that I feel like maybe if people already have these, you know, xenophobic or racist notions, they might then say like, oh, I can't eat honey anymore. But I don't think people are going to stop eating honey because of this. And this is partially what I was saying, where it's like, what's the point of this, of them making this episode? Like, what do they want? What do you think the filmmakers want to happen?
I think that they're just hoping people will be more careful about where they're getting their honey from.
But if some of these people are able to trick, you know, the best scientists into thinking that they have pure honey, what's the average consumer, like, how are we supposed to figure out if it's good or bad honey, quote, good or bad honey?
Well, I think that they would say you have to go to your local farmer's market and talk to the person that just straight up just harvests honey that comes right from their property, and that's the way to go. Like, don't buy something from any slightly big operation, perhaps.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe, but I personally, here's the thing. I'll preface this by saying, you know, I don't eat honey anyways, and I would encourage other people not to eat honey. But given that the majority of people in the United States are not vegan, I feel like there are many other issues related to food, both that relate to veganism and not necessarily related to veganism, that are, I don't want to say more important, but that people perceive as more important than this issue.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely not like the flagship issue by any stretch.
Unless you're the type of person, and there are people, you know, that avoid any additives and any preservatives and anything artificial. It's like, what are we eating that is 100% pure anyways? It's like, is there really a problem with eating honey that's 50% honey and then 50% some sort of other sugar? Isn't that what most of the food we eat anyways?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure someone would say, oh, there's health benefits and you're diluting those, or, you know, whatever it might be. I think maybe the bigger issue is you're being lied to about what you think you're purchasing. Like, you think you're paying a certain amount of money to receive a specific product, and you're being deceived. And that's what the big issue really is. Not so much that you're consuming a little bit of rice syrup or something.
But I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm being pessimistic, but I would guess that that's the case for the majority of things that we consume, both food and non-food, that somewhere along the production line, someone's doing something shady that they don't want us to know about.
Well, what if you're just purchasing local produce?
I guess.
and I think that to me, what I'm guessing the narrative thrust of this whole series is going to be, don't trust big agribusiness and, you know, purchase local and make sure you're like, you know where your food is coming from.
You're probably right. And what you just said actually made me think that maybe the fact that we didn't get, or at least I didn't feel like there was any sort of, this is what you should do conclusion to this episode, is that I need to put it in the context of their six episodes. And maybe it is this, you know, overarching narrative that they're trying to put, that they've just introduced it. This is the first episode, and they won't necessarily talk about the bees again, but they'll keep referencing this sort of stuff. And that's the kind of conclusion that they're coming to. So maybe I shouldn't be so hard on it because I've only watched one episode, and I should wait to watch all six episodes to see if there is any sort of recommendations they make. Because I was sort of thinking about it in the context of, this is one, like you were saying, this is a film, this is a documentary, a standalone, and it's not a standalone.
Well, I think that we'll definitely see a theme emerging throughout, but I also think that I'm not expecting them at the end of episode six to sort of revisit every episode and say, and this is what you should do about honey, and this is what you should do about garlic, and, you know, all of these things. Like, I do think it's sort of the filmmaker's responsibility to wrap it up within the episode and give recommendations, because someone could just pick and choose which episode. Oh, I'm only interested in the garlic. I'm only interested in the chickens. So they might not watch the entire thing. And I guess perhaps that's like, well, that's their fault. But I also think it's important to put the solutions in people's heads while the issue is fresh on their mind and at the end of this particular, you know, episode.
Yeah.
Like, I would view that as a fault of the filmmakers, because I think it seems like it's a collection of episodes that all talk about issues that have a through line, which is probably buy local or don't support big agribusiness, whatever, you know, whatever it might be. But I don't think that it's going to be anything more than that. I think it's just a thread that ties together. This is a collection of films that talk about issues with food, or, you know, with animals that are considered food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It's hard not to. It's hard to for me at least. It's hard to remember that it's not a standalone thing though, because it just feels like a. It feels like a standalone film.
Yeah. Well, I guess
it's not even a film.
I guess it remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yep.
What happens? Can I tell you something I did really like about this film, Paul?
And then I'll tell you something I liked, or maybe it's the same thing, but go for it.
All of the great names.
Oh, yes, that was mine.
Gurkman and Magnus von Buddenbrook.
That was my favorite.
And then there's a guy that I was like, I don't know if this is your real name or if your name dictated the profession you went into, but Buzz Landon started Buzz's Bees, and I was like, a little too on the nose.
Who just would walk around the beehives. Everyone else is in full beekeeper gear, and he's just walking around them, like picking things up and doing all these other things. And I was like, this man is either he like speaks bee language and no bees sting him, or he's just been stung so many times that he just feels nothing anymore.
His whole body is a callus.
No, but he would like in the first scene he's introduced, he's just picking up stuff. He's wearing the hood, but he's just picking things up with his bare hands and like rubbing things around with his bare hands. And then later on, he's just picking up a whole colony and he's not wearing any gear. And I'm like, Jesus.
This episode definitely reminded me of how terrified I am of bees. Even when they're wearing the full suit, but there's just 300 bees swarming around their like head and neck area. I don't know how I could be okay with that.
Yeah.
Even if I feel like I'm in this protective suit. And what if a bee got in your suit?
Occasionally someone would lift up their hood to taste the honey. And I was like, why are you doing that?
You think the bees would all go, attack?
Yeah. But no, it definitely seems absolutely horrifying. A horrifying endeavor.
The fact that the guy's name was Buzz Landon reminded me of that Seinfeld bit where he's like, if you name your child Jeeves, he will be guaranteed to be a butler.
If you name your child Buzz, he's either going to be an astronaut or a beekeeper.
Yeah, Buzz Aldrin's the one that got away. He was like, I refuse to obey my destiny, and I'm going to go as far away as possible from these goddamn beehives, and I'm going to the moon.
There's no bees on the moon.
What if he got there and there was bees? It's like giant the bees. Worst Twilight Zone episode ever.
yeah.
The other thing that really, really bothered me about this episode, Paul, was that at one point a man references small almond trees, and I was just so sad he didn't call them smallmond trees.
You know, I still don't fully understand where the almonds actually are on the tree. I guess Google could probably solve this, but
it's one of those things where you realize I have no idea how asparagus is grown or pineapples are grown, and then you see it and you're like, good Lord, this whole time.
yeah. But it was, it was impressive yet alarming, I think, when they had these sweeping shots and they're like, see all those little sticks? Those are all almond trees. And it was just like miles and miles of almond trees. And I was like, this can't be agriculturally healthy.
Yeah. Well, so that makes me question, you know, we've talked about this on previous episodes where we've wondered what are the limits of veganism. And I would say mainstream, your average vegan, which is someone like myself who, you know, likes supporting, you know, locally grown agriculture when possible, but I don't necessarily see it as a globally promotable ethic. And I am happy to purchase a Gardein product. I willingly and complicitly purchase.
You cry as you eat your Gardein.
Sadly, Charlie Brown music plays whenever I buy some Gardein crispy tenders. You know, the average person, and I think that we feel that in order to promote veganism, it does mean saying like, go pick up some field roast, go pick up these meat substitutes, and you know, Cheerios are vegan or whatever, you know, whatever it might be, Taco Bell, that are all supporting these large industrial agricultural operations. And like, what are the limits to that? That is something that this episode did have me reflecting upon.
I feel like it would, when they had that scene, when it was showing all the almond trees, because what they were implying was the almond business is booming. so therefore these almond fields are, they're destroying other crops to just plant almond trees, and therefore they need more bees. Like, that was kind of the line of the rationality that they went down. But to me, like I was saying this whole time with these sort of conclusionary statements they could have made, like, why didn't they then lead that with, or why didn't they not lead it with, why didn't they finish that segment with, yeah, almonds are great, but, you know, maybe we should rethink how much we're eating almonds, because it's destroying, it's possibly destroying, you know, the environment. It's hurting the agriculture business. It's hurting the bees. Like, I feel like, why didn't they include something about, hey, think about your almond consumption or something like that? Or maybe they were just implying it, but I don't know.
Paul, this is the honey episode, okay?
But even a, like a throw, like even if it was a throwaway line, they could have said, and this is why, you know, almonds are great, but there is an, this is causing a problem, and we can't, like, if this trend continues, and I think they did say this trend is going to continue because people are focusing on, quote, healthy foods. I think they should have said, maybe that's something that we need to analyze and figure out if we can actually do this.
Note to self, Trendy by Real Big Fish for outro music. Yeah, definitely. Again, I keep saying this, but it felt like a missed opportunity to really explore these things. But it feels like it was just sort of blanketedly saying, as long as money can be made, it's okay. There's just, we just have to find the ethical way to do it.
Yeah.
We just have to have the right tests and the right tariffs and all of these things to prevent the diluted honey from getting in, and then it's okay. It's okay to take the honeybees from their homes and move them very far away to these valleys where they're collecting, they're mixing and mingling with all these other bees, and they're collecting the fungicides and pesticides and all of these things that seem to be really bad, but it's okay because we're making money off of it.
Not to mention, like, why would anyone not in the U.S. even care about this specific episode? It was very U.S. centric, because the whole thing was basically other countries are shipping tainted honey to the United States, and that's the problem. And that specific problem is hurting U.S. beekeepers. It was very U.S. centric.
Well, Paul, there are 325 million people in the United States, so I bet there's enough people to warrant an episode to talk about something that is, you know, locally concerning to them.
I don't know. I just feel like there are, I'm sure there are bee issues and beekeeper, to more go align with what the episode was talking about, are there not beekeeper issues in other countries as well?
Well, I guess there must be, because they talked about how much honey comes from China, and obviously a lot of it, apparently, according to this, is getting diluted, but there is clearly plenty of actual... They talk about the rich history of beekeeping in China, so yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if this documentary needs to be everything for everyone in every part of the globe. You know, maybe, no. Perhaps the U.S. audience, which, you know, is among one of the highest consumer populations in the world. Like, we consume among the most per capita. Maybe it is important for the U.S. to hear this message.
I see what you're saying. I think it would have been interesting, though, if, like, they talked to honey producers in China, or they talked to people that consume honey in China and how they feel about this thing. Because technically, it's like if all of the honey producers in China are all diluting their honey, you know, that's affecting the people that are consuming it in China as well. And do those people, like, do they care about it there? Do they not think that it's an issue? Are they not aware of it, just like most of the United States is not aware of it? I think that would be, I don't know, a different perspective, as opposed to the bad guys in China shipping tainted honey to the good guys in the United States kind of thing that they're pushing.
Yeah, you know, you saying that actually makes me think that, again, I feel like it should have been focusing on why is the yield of honey per bee going down. Like, if they're going to make a documentary that's pro honey consumption, it's almost like this is a documentary about the Band-Aid being applied to a much bigger wound. And isn't the wound way more interesting than this particular Band-Aid?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The more we talk about it, the less I like it.
Yeah. All right. I got one more little nitpick before I'm all set to wrap it up. When they were talking about the theft of the honey, the beehives that were being used to pollinate, and they interview the sheriff, and he says, it's kind of the perfect crime because you have to know how to handle those bees and have the equipment to move and transport those bees. And I just thought, is that actually a perfect crime? Is that to make him a perfect crime? And I looked up the definition of a perfect crime. And yes, there is one. It said, a crime so ingeniously contrived and carefully executed that it cannot be detected or solved. And I'm like, well, they saw that the beehives were gone. So one, it was detected. And then they show that the case was solved. So it's not a perfect crime at all. And in fact, I would argue it's very far from a perfect crime because, as this guy points out, you have to have all these specific tools and knowledge and ability to take them. So that really narrows down the pool of people that authorities are going to have to go look at in order to solve this crime. Like, all of a sudden, it's not just anyone in any house in America could have done this. It's, oh, there's 20 beekeepers in a 100-mile radius. Let's go check them out and see what's up.
Yeah. And all they had to do was, I think it said the reason that they figured out it was them was because they just had different types of hives there.
Yeah.
And so all they did was observe, like, those hives look different from each other, and case closed.
Yeah. it just bothered me, and I had to put that on record.
That one line, that it was a perfect crime.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So, I don't know. Do you have any closing thoughts? Who is this for? Would you recommend that people check this out?
I'm going to hold off my recommendation until watching the other episodes. And even then, I think I might just say, just skip the beehive episode. I apologize if I'm being harsh, but it was not particularly interesting to me. And I don't think it's an issue. And I don't mean to be, I don't want to say I don't care about, you know, I don't care about people's livelihoods. Obviously, it's like, I don't want people to be out of jobs. And there is this tricky area where it's like, well, should people be able to have jobs that are exploiting other living beings? And that aside, you know, it's like, I want people to be okay. And I want people to be able to make enough money to, you know, live comfortably. But those things aside, I don't think the issues that they brought up are particularly relevant to most people. And for that reason, I don't think I would really recommend this. What was your other question? Who is this for?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was just, I think it's just the general public. Cause I saw a lot of, when I just typed in Netflix rotten, a lot of the headlines of articles talking about it were like, the TV show that every American food consumer should be watching, or it was like the documentaries that you need to be seeing if you consume food, which is everybody. But it was like, I felt like this one particularly is not really relevant to most people. And it's not something that I believe will prompt many changes in people's diets, even if you do care about this stuff.
Yeah, I feel, you know, most people that consume honey, it's passively in like wheat bread or honey roasted peanuts or something like that. And it's just like, eh, whatever. Does it taste sweet? Cool. It's not. Yeah, I feel like the amount of people that would be outraged by this is not super high. But yeah, I have to agree that even though I guess I was interested in this, you're right. And it's not thrilling. It wasn't like edge of your seat, despite the fact that they have all these close-ups of computer screens and document 995. And you know, it wasn't, I'm sure there are ways that they could have presented this. You know, you put it in the hand of like a very skilled, you know, dramatic documentarian or something. Maybe you could have wrung a little more drama out of it, but overall it's, you know, it's just them looking through documents and finding one that proved that they knew what was going on. And
yeah.
Gerkman. So yeah, I wouldn't really recommend this. It feels very slight in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't really feel like it gives me information that I needed to know or even, it's not even like party talk. It's not even like, oh, I just learned about the Chinese imports and how most honey actually is pretty. Yeah, it's not even that sort of level of fascination. It's overall just very unnecessary.
But hopefully people, you know, hopefully people don't feel that way about the issues that we care about, you know? Like there are people out there that do feel very passionately about this stuff, and I would hope that the stuff that is more important to us, particularly concerning animals, people don't feel the same way about those.
Well, I think that we, with the issues that we talk about on the show, we can draw a line between them and the things that matter, or like what the impact is globally or on individuals.
Yeah.
Whereas this one didn't, like, we talked about all these sort of peripheral issues that people could bring up about the decline of honey and production and all of these things. And it felt like this film decided to focus on some of the least interesting aspects of that and perhaps the least consequential.
True. That's true.
You know, I don't think that you would categorize either of us as someone that doesn't care about bees at all, but. So it's like, we do care. Like, give us the documentary that shows us why we should care, what the impact is, and then now what we can do about it. And this wasn't that.
True. This is, yes, I agree.
Well.
So I think that's all we got to say about it.
Yeah. It's, leave us a comment. Let us know what you think. Interact. Let us know what other stuff you want us to do for these little bonus episodes for all you wonderful Patreon supporters.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I love doing the film reviews, but if you have some other ideas about something different that we could do for the Patreon, that would be cool too.
Yeah.
And what is that email, Andy?
That would be thebeardedvegans@gmail.com. And nice. Of course, join us on Facebook. If you're supporting us, you're probably already there. Follow us on the Instagram as well. We post all the food pics there.
Yeah.
Paul, I think something that was sorely missing from this episode was any reference to Jerry Seinfeld and the Bee movie, of which we've slipped a few into this episode already. Mm-hmm. I've been going down this internet wormhole that's all these amalgamations of Jerry Seinfeld, Bee movie, and Smash Mouth's All-Star, and Shrek. And my favorite thing is when they latch onto this one particular phrase and they repeat it over and over again. They're like, anytime they say the word B, instead they put this phrase in there. And that phrase is the following 7 words.
We are the Bearded Vegan, signing off.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, thank you for some. Oh, it totally threw me off. Okay.
So this is our first Patreon exclusive episode, and we decided to put this one out because we've been doing a lot. Nah, man.
You want me to say it?
I don't know how to introduce this.
Even when they're wearing the full suits, but there's just like 300 bees swarming around. I just hit my microphone. They talked about the rich history of raising honeys, raising some fly honeys.
Maybe something about the, like, I don't know, somehow incorporating Jerry Seinfeld.
I was thinking that. It was like, there's no Jerry Seinfeld reference in the entire thing.